verse 12. It's just before Hebrews. And I want to speak this morning on some present tense realities in a Christian's life. I had a whole other message on the church. And I just sat back and I had this message from months ago. I thought of, I probably listed about 30 things that are true in my life since I've been born again, since I've been saved, true in my life right now. If there's nothing else great in my life, these are things worth shouting about. And I don't know, the Lord just kept, my mind just kept gravitating back to this thing. I just want to be an encouragement this morning. And I want you to see how the Bible writes and speaks in the present tense. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, let me just ask you this. How many of you are looking forward to going to heaven when you die? I'm not looking forward to some worms and dirt and a box in the ground. I'm looking forward to streets of gold and mansions in heaven. There's some things I'm looking forward to, but there are some things that we miss because we think that's when it's going to get good. We think that's when my life will begin. I'm here to tell you, there are some things that have already begun in your life the moment you got saved. And God's interested in us living in this present world. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, teaching us that. Go back to verse 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Are you going to live soberly? Are you going to drink when you're in heaven? You're going to stagger around and trumble over stuff because you're drinking in heaven? You're going to live soberly in heaven, but you ought to live soberly in this present world. It goes on. Soberly, righteously. You're never going to sin in heaven, amen? There'll be no more sin in heaven. You're not ever going to think a lustful thought, think a revengeful thought. You're never going to go over depressing thoughts, amen? In heaven, you're going to live righteously. I mean, it's going to be awesome. You're going to pass by somebody, and you're never going to think what they just think. You're never going to worry about things. There's no more sin in heaven. You ought to be living righteously in this present world. Present tense. And it goes on. And godly in this present world. As Christians, we may not be as much to look at. Amen. But we've got some things worth getting excited about. We've been given in this life some things that are priceless and precious. They are realities. They're not just a pie in the sky. They're not a dream. I've heard speeches about, I have a dream. Well, you know what? I have a reality. Amen. I know there are a lot of things we struggle against. I know there are a lot of things that aren't real in our life yet. But there's some things that are. I want to talk about those things this morning. Because the Bible talks like no other book. There are some things that I was. There are. Amen. There are some things that I am right now. And one of these days, maybe I'm going to preach on what we shall be. John, in 1 John says, we don't quite all know what we're going to be. We don't know what it's all going to be like, but we know we're going to be like him. Amen? So we got some things. The Bible talks about our past, talks about our present and our future. And there, I want to talk about our present tense realities. Aren't you glad God can fix your past? I mean, if your mother knew, I told a couple of kids this at camp. I said, they're sitting there saying, we want to get saved. And I said, you a sinner? They went, yeah, a little. I said to that young man, I said, if your mama knew everything that you've been into and where you've been and what you've thought and what you've said and what you've taken, what would she think? Ooh, she'd be mad. I said, does God know everything you've thought, everything you've done, everything you've taken? He went, yeah. I said, he's mad. But God can fix it. Amen. God can fix your past. God fixed my future. I was on a highway to hell. You know, they make songs about that stuff. Well, I sing stuff that I'm on the highway to heaven now. Amen. It's not a dream. It's a reality. My future's been fixed. But he wants to work in our present. He desperately lives as the I am. Isn't that his name? He's the I am. He lives in us now. Some people live only in the past. You meet him and they go, how you doing? Oh, it was better. I've been better. Oh, I miss the old days. You're living in the past. There are some people that live for the future. They're called politicians. That's why they're spending our children's money. Amen? And our grandchildren's money. They live in the future. Oh, it's a better day. Oh, it's going to... Listen. I need to know how to live today. Amen? I need to know what I have today. God's given us some great things. We have some things that we can shout about, rejoice about, even sing about, to make life worth living. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, please encourage your people this morning. We need it. Not because times are rough and bad. Well, maybe they are. Not really because just we get down. But God, because we need to be reminded of reality. We need to be reminded of who Jesus is and what we are because of him. Just bless your people. Make up for maybe some rough weeks and months. Pick up your people. Let them, Lord, just lift their head up. May they look unto you and be blessed and be encouraged and find that joy that they had maybe back a while ago and just start living like you're real again. Remind us of present tense, right now realities. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's see. We need to go through some background. I need you to go look at some scriptures here in Ephesians. Go to the left and find Ephesians. Chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. And Paul says for the Christians at Ephesus, he says, now wherefore, remember these things. That ye being when? Are you with me? 2:11. In time past, what were they? Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. Now that was an Old Testament phrase. When they were talking about the Philistines, they called them those uncircumcised Philistines. They'd say, those guys who know nothing of our God. And the Jews would call anybody that wasn't a Jew uncircumcised. Verse 12, that in that time ye were without who? You didn't have Christ. You weren't born a Christian. You were born a sinner, amen? There was a time where you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, before you were born again, did you have any hope of heaven at all? Man, well, my church says, well, if I just do this, you had no hope. No hope. Might as well just throw in the towel. You might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, Solomon says, for tomorrow you're dying and it's over with. If you don't follow Christ, you might as well just go all out, man. Unless you want to go to heaven. We have a different side. Look at what it says, having no hope and without God in the world. I like verse 13. What's the next? But what? But in the present tense, now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh, are made close by the blood of Christ. What did Jesus do? He made it possible for you to be accepted in the beloved. You are in the family of God. That's a wild thing. Go to Romans chapter 5 now. Go to the left. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, that's a good verse for Samson. He had what you think. You think he had all the strength in the world, but he didn't have enough. Romans 5, 6. For when we, and he includes himself, Paul says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the, what were we? We weren't just a little bad. We were all bad. We were ungodly. Amen. Look now at, I said, I should have kept you in Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. It's good practice for you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this. And you hath he quickened, made alive, resurrected. You hath he quickened who were what? So you were dead. You are what? Alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins. One more. Go back to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. Down to verse 44. This is the clincher. This is the one. Jesus is not speaking to a bunch of drunkards. Jesus is not going to the prison house and speaking to murderers. He's not speaking to terrorists. He's not speaking to people who are criminals. He's speaking to the most religious, the most devout, the most holy of the day. And watch what he says in John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, ye are of your father, what? And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer. Did they murder? Just a few weeks later, they murdered Jesus Christ, didn't they? Hey, if the devil's a murderer and you're his child, guess what you're going to end up doing? You're going to murder. From the beginning, he abode not in the truth. You know how you know somebody's not saved? They come to church, they get all excited, but they're still their father the devil because they won't stay. Because it won't stay in the Bible. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. You don't go have ups and down days. But if somebody says, I haven't been in church in years, I look at him and says, and you're not saved. Because the devil was in heaven, wasn't he? And then one day, he didn't want the truth anymore. Amen? You see, salvation is not the fact you come to church on occasion. If you're saved, you'll hunger for the Bible. You're going to get times where you're just worn out and you're just defeated, you just get discouraged. But there'll be a hunger in you that says, I got to get back to it, amen. But the devil, he said, forget it. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, again, you want to know if you're saved or not, you need to look and say whether things coming out of your mouth are nothing but lies. You need to check your mouth, check your heart. Are you constantly lying to everybody, putting yourself up, trying to live a lie? That's the life of the devil. He says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now let's just look at that list. What I was, when you look back on your life, this is what you ought to see. You don't look back and say, well, I had a good life before I got saved. Are you kidding? You know what I was? I was lost. I mean, I didn't even know where I was. Amen? Now, you know, no man is ever lost. We're just finding our way. That's why we don't carry maps. But we know when we're lost. We're talking about we don't know how to find God. We don't know how to find the truth. Somebody has to bring it to us. Amen? Remember when you got saved, you didn't just go find God. Somebody shook you up and told you this is what God says, and you believed it. Amen? We were lost. We were ungodly. We were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. We were without God, without hope, without strength. We were a child of the devil. That's what we were. And you know, you put all those things, you add all those things up and you come up with a negative. We're doomed. The Bible word is, we're condemned, we're damned. You know, one of the ways you know you're saved is you can look back in your life and you go, I once was lost, and now I'm found. Amen? I once was blind, but now I see. You know something happened. That's what every Christian was. You say, you perfect? No, but I'm not like I was. Now, what every born-again Christian is, what every born-again believer is in the present tense. I just want to give you a few things that ought to bless your hearts here. Take your Bible. You're in John. Go back to chapter 5. I want to start off, and I just want to pick on the best one. That is, I'm forgiven. John chapter 5 and verse 24 says this. This is amazing. Verily, verily. Every time Jesus says verily, verily, it's like your mother saying, listen to me. All right? Verily, verily. Listen to me. 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath right now what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I like that verse, amen? You ought to put a star by that verse. You ought to put a box around that verse. You ought to memorize that verse. No longer condemned. I've got forgiveness. Run over, look also at Romans. Now, John, we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. Get your spiritual muscles working. Amen. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. I'll go ahead and go back to verse 5 because this, I mean, chapter 4 is amazing. Romans, just to the right there from John, John, Acts, then comes Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Paul is trying to prove that you cannot get saved by your good works. You're saved by what? By faith. Which, look what he says. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the what? What were we before we got saved? Ungodly. And God can justify the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of that man, unto whom the Lord, unto whom God imputeth, provides righteousness without works, saying, watch this, blessed are those, are they, whose iniquities are what? Will they be forgiven? No. Are they forgiven? Yes, whose iniquities are forgiven. I like how it talks about in the present tense. I lost my place. Where are we? 4. I was looking at chapter 5, verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. What does it mean to cover something? All right, let's I take my wife out to dinner. And we're sitting there and we get one of those nice, big, expensive meals. And it costs us 80 euros for the dinner. Never had that. I'm dreaming, okay? It's not a present tense reality. We have a nice 80-euro dinner, you know. Coffee is 5 euros. You know? Better be good. We're sitting down there, and I say, sweetheart, hope you got the check. Hope you got some money. And she looks at me and says, no, I thought you brought some money. And I went, we're in trouble. But at the next table is Dan and Kathy. Dan's been having a 5-euro special at the same dinner. But he looks over and he sees both of us sweating. And he looks over and he says, it's covered. You understand that concept? It's a debt we couldn't pay. Someone, hint, hint. Somebody else. Somebody else comes in and covers it. Amen. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't somebody just forgetting about what happened. It's covering it. It's paying for it. And God forgave your debt and he paid for it. Amen. That's a blessed thing. It's a present tense reality. I mean, if you got nothing else out of God, you got some good when you got forgiven. Your sins are covered. I'm forgiven. I mean, that's a great way to live. I mean, I hate being guilty. Amen? I hate being in trouble. Somebody said you do the crime, you're going to serve the time. You ever heard that? You know how long it takes to pay off for your sins? Eternity. I don't want to do the time. I like being forgiven, amen? You know what it's like to be guilty? You know what it's like to lose a friendship or the closeness between you and somebody else because of wrongdoings? But you hopefully know what it's like to be forgiven when somebody says it's okay and they mean it, amen? It's wonderful. And it only happens when somebody comes into your life named Jesus Christ. Doesn't happen when you do something or you earn something. It's that this blessedness doesn't come because of good works. It comes by faith in what Jesus did. I am forgiven. Nobody's born a Christian. We all started off separated from God. We learned about a Savior. We learned that we were sinners. And we asked to be saved from sin. I mean, I like a little child saying, I don't want to go to hell. Please save me, Jesus. What do you think he does? On the spot, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I read a book one time. This pastor I know of in the United States up in Connecticut, he wrote a book on 23 things that happen when a person gets saved. I thought it was amazing. He said, you get passed from death into life. He said, you are given the Holy Spirit of God. That's something that happened when you got saved. You are at that moment blessed with all spiritual blessings. I know you're looking for blessings, but according to Ephesians, it says you've been given all spiritual blessings. Maybe you haven't got two pennies to rub together, but you're blessed. You know, there are 20 more things that happened when you got saved. But the greatest thing that God did and truly did was forgive you of all your trespasses and all your sins. He buried them in the deepest sea, Psalm says. He cast them behind his back, Jeremiah says. He cast them as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad he didn't cast as far as the north is from the south, because that's measurable. You can measure how far it is from the North Pole to the South Pole, but you will never measure how far the east is from the west. Amen? That's how far as he removed our sins and our transgressions from us. That's a pretty good thing. Amen? I hope you never get over the fact you're forgiven. Don't you ever come to church saying, God hasn't really blessed me this week. Kick yourself or let me do it. Amen. You're forgiven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it doesn't say, you know, some of you might have one of them new Bibles, them new fancy shiny Bibles. It says, unto us which are being saved. You know what? My Bible says, unto us which are saved, I is forgiven. Amen. That's what we say down south. Amen. We like things being in the present. Secondly, John chapter 10. Go back to the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 27. Second thing that a believer is, I have eternal life right now. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I like how it puts it in the present tense. My sheep hear my voice right now. If you're his sheep, you're listening to him. If you can't hear him, if this Bible just does nothing for you, I'd evaluate and go, maybe I'm not saved. I mean, I read the Bible, I don't think get anything out of it. You know why? Because you're still spiritually blind, because your heart's still hardened, because you're full of sin. And the only thing you can do is read it and trust that it says you can be born again, and that you need to fear neglecting salvation. You need to just ask God to open your eyes and give you eternal life. All of a sudden, boom, the eyes get open. All of a sudden, it comes alive, and you hear his voice. Don't wait for a dream. Don't wait for him to speak to you in the middle of the night. It won't be God talking to you. He speaks to you when you're reading your Bible. Notice that. My sheep hear my voice, present tense. And they, look at that, follow me, present tense. And I give unto them what type of life? I give unto them eternal life. And they, that's the present. In the future, they shall never, what? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hey, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You got eternal life. It's not something you hope to gain at death. It's something that you're supposed to possess right now. Romans 6:23, who can quote that? That's one of our foundational verses. Who can quote it? Put your hand up. Eli. Good. The gift of God is eternal life. It's not will be eternal life. The gift of God, if you received anything from God, you got the gift. Now, is forgiveness a gift? Yes. I got forgiveness, but the Bible doesn't emphasize only forgiveness. It says when you got saved, you got the gift of eternal life with it. I think I got a double blessing here now. You have, listen, you have not just received forgiveness, you've received the gift of eternal life. If you asked 100 people on the street, do you have eternal life? Do you have everlasting life? You know what people would say? Oh, not yet. I can only get that when I die. Oh, well, who knows? Well, I hope to have it one day. That's what people would say, wouldn't they? Well, the moment I repented and I just, like a child in trouble, and I cried out and asked Jesus Christ to save me, I got eternal life. That very moment. Too many people worry about getting baptized in order to get to heaven. They worry about joining a certain church in order to get to heaven. They worry about joining up with charities and getting involved in doing good works. But you know what a Christian is? A Christian doesn't get into all those things. That's good to get baptized, join a church. Oh, that's fine. But you know what? I got Jesus Christ. God reached down, took me, and put me into him. Put me into Jesus Christ. And with the moment I received him, he received me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, not in church, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. As of the 15th of June, 1980, I am already, are you listening to me? I'm going to freak out. As of the 15th of June, 9:45 p.m., as of the 15th of June, 1980, I moved to heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 1, go to the right. You always knew I wasn't all here. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. There to the right. Bible says this. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Who got set at God's right hand? All right, so where is Jesus right now? In heaven at the right hand of God. Look at chapter 2 now and verse 6. We'll go back to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins in the past, hath he quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit where? Together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I haven't got it all figured out. I don't understand it. But as far as God's concerned, I'm already there. You say, I'm wondering if I could lose my salvation. You can't lose your salvation because as far as God's concerned, you're not just struggling here, you're already there. I'm just waiting for this body to catch up. Amen? And one day I will, either by the rapture, I'm praying, and if not, then by the resurrection. I'm already home. I have eternal life. If you're waiting for a good time, you're missing it. I already have a good time. I'm not waiting to experience life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, present tense, and that more abundant. Don't you dare sit down and look around your four walls and look at your idiot box and nothing's on TV and you're bored and say, man, what a life. You know what you ought to sit back and just start realizing what a life. This is, if your life stinks, it's as bad, that's as bad as it's going to get. That's as bad as it's going to get. If you got a good life, if you're saved, and you just got nothing to show for your life, one of these days you're going to look back and you're going to say, I don't even remember how bad it was. But if you're not saved, if you're not born again and you're driving Ford, every day of the week you got a different car to drive. You can sleep in different bedrooms, man. And you got everything going for you. You got 15 bank accounts. Most of them are hidden. And you got everything going for you. You know what? That's as good as it's going to get. Because one of these days in hell, you won't be able to remember how good it was here on earth. I know how good eternal life is. I've tasted of the heavenly gift, the Bible calls it. Isn't salvation wonderful? I'm not only forgiven, I don't only have eternal life. I'm not hoping for it. I've got it. I'm washed. Go look at 1 Corinthians. You're in Ephesians. Go back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm looking at verses that tell us something that's in our life right now. Now, I found about 30 of them, but I want to show you just a few of them that are just the top ones. Maybe encourage you, explain some things to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Start in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Ooh. How many of you were unrighteous? How many of you were unrighteous, ungodly, without God, without hope in the world? Amen. You're not going. Unless something changes. Amen. You see? You can't inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor, you know, all that stuff up at the top is pretty bad, but look at verse 10. Nor thieves, nor drunkards, nor revilers. You ever lost your temper? Oops. Nor revilers, nor extortioners. You ever talk somebody out of money? Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such, past tense, were some of you. But ye are, look at what things that we are. We are washed. We are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, this is amazing. Washed means you're cleansed from the filthiness of your sins. I was with Eric, and Eric did this on purpose. We're passing out, we're driving around trying to find a treasure hunt path for the kids, and he parks right up next to this gate, and I saw the gleam in his eye, but I didn't think about it. I didn't really imagine he would ever do what he did. He parked in a bad spot where and he knew I would be the nice guy and volunteer to go and take the gate so that he could drive through. So out I go, right into fresh manure. And I know he said, oh, I'm sorry, but I knew there was a glimmer of a smile. That stuff was fresh. And my runners were fabric. So they soaked it in to the socks and to the skin. You know, honestly, folks, our sin doesn't just like come and just touch the surface of our lives. It soaks in. And the only revenge I could give him was I could have gotten in and just carried that muck into his car, but I didn't. I was the nice guy. I took it. But anyway, the fact is this, that stuff stank. My feet need to be washed. And those shoes still need to be washed. My wife's looking at me. Is that why? They're in the wash. Amen. But listen, when I came to God, I needed to be washed. Amen. Because we forget how filthy sin is. I don't care how small you may have done a sin. It's filthy. I don't care. All you have to do is step in one tiny little bit of dog poo, and it's with you, man. You're like, what is that smell? Amen. And all you have to do is just one sin, one thing you know you shouldn't have been messing with, and it stinks. It's with you. And you need to be washed. And folks, you know what? I'm not trying to wash away any of my sins anymore. I live under the blood. I am washed. That's what the Bible says. That doesn't mean I don't get into sin, but there's plenty of blood to go around. Amen? You see, the Lamb had to shed his blood to take away the sins of the world. Amen? And it works. I am washed. That is not a past tense. It doesn't say I was washed. See, say, how do you not lose your salvation when you sin? Because the blood still covers it. It still keeps washing it. That's the great thing of being a Christian. I know I mess up. I know I fall. But the blood just keeps paying for it and keeps covering and keeps washing it so I can get up and my conscience can be clear and I can just go on as I repent and I keep going for God. I'm washed. I'm sanctified. You know what sanctified means? It means to be made holy. You know, a Christian is holy. Now, we may not be much to look at. But I'd like you to go to Ephesians, back to the right, find Ephesians chapter 1. I met a couple of monks at the abbey there. We met one guy, Eric and I. Met an old guy, he's been there 70 some odd years. You know, some of those guys, and fair dues to them, they're trying to be holy. Some of them are trying to get away from the world, and I understand. I don't blame them. I've read about people who've been beatified. They've been made into saints. But you know what you're looking at? You're looking at a bona fide, honest to God, real saint. It's not much to say, but Saint Craig. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. I wanted to show you where saints live. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the Christians, is that what it says? To the disciples? No. To the saints which are in heaven? No. They're living over in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, saints live in Ephesus. They live in Ballincollig. They even live in Carrigaline. It's amazing. I think it's amazing, amen? You know, we're saints. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, speaking to the Gentiles, dumb Gentiles, as Paul calls them, he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the... I don't have to be beatified. I don't need somebody to look for miracles in my life. I've had enough miracles to write a book about. But that doesn't make me a saint. The moment I got born again, I was washed. I was sanctified. To be sanctified simply means that I was made usable by God. Some dumb dog Gentile. God says, I can use him. Amen. I was usable. That's what sanctified means. I mean, I come to your house and you take me a cup that your dog just ate out of. Bowl, put cornflakes in it, hand it to me. You hungry? I go, no. But you take that thing and you sterilize it and you wash it and you wash it again and then you wash it again. You sanctify it and then you hand it to me and I might eat out of it. Amen? Because you made it usable. You understand what I'm saying? God had to do some serious cleaning up of us, but he made us usable. Don't you forget that. He sanctified you. And he justified you. It means being made righteous, as if you and I had never sinned. As far as God's concerned, he looks down and he sees perfect people. That's a blessing, Brother Dennis. He's not looking at you going, oh, my goodness. Oh, there goes Dennis again. I have had it with Dennis. No, he goes, oh, go, Dennis. That's my son. That's my son. Amen. I've been justified. That doesn't mean I don't sin. But you know, God should kill me. God should judge us royally, but instead he judged his son. And he said, like Barabbas, you can go free. It's as if, Barabbas, you never murdered anybody. Barabbas, you never started a riot. Barabbas, you got a second chance. Amen? I've been justified. 95% of the world is working so hard to cleanse their hands and consciences from guilt and from sin. They work so hard at becoming saints and holy people in their religion. They work so hard to try to get righteous with God. And yet here we are. I mean, we're a mess. Amen? We're a mess. We don't have anything to brag about. But we're washed. We're sanctified. We're justified. It's done and dusted for us. We're what everybody wishes they could be. All because of Jesus Christ. You're in Ephesians. Go back to the left. I want to show you another verse that we are. I am owned. Not just by my wife either. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You ever meet these, you ever read about these guys on, and they're in World Cup soccer teams, or they're preparing for the Olympics and stuff. They have no life like you or me. They can't get up whenever they want. They can't even go to church. 7 days a week, you know what they're doing? They're working out. They're preparing for the Olympics. They're preparing for the next match. They can't even eat what they want. Their coach is telling them, fiber, high fiber. Amen. They can't wear what they want. They all have to wear Adidas. Amen. They're told what to wear. They're told when to go to bed. They're told when to get up. They're told what to do. Amen. Because they're owned. Amen. Now they get good pay for it. But all these sports people, they are owned. Well, you and I belong to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Remember that, because we're going to come back to it in a few minutes. Which you have of God, and you're not your own in the present. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's now. I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. It didn't come cheap. Somebody had to buy me. The illustration is of a slave. You go back 200 years ago, they would go, and the Dutch were very good at this. The Muslims were the ones who sold them and would gladly go into Africa and grab the slaves, bring entire tribes, decimate Africa, bring these people to the Dutch, who would go and buy them and then sell them to England and then ultimately to America. And there were these slaves and they were in chains, and you'd have these buyers who would surround them and they would look at them and they would feel their muscles. They checked their teeth like they were animals. They look in their eyes and they go, I'll give you 10 shillings for them. 20 shillings. They give him a few bits. Oh, no, he's worth more than that. They were selling people. They were selling human beings on a slave market. But that's where God found us. The devil owned us. He put us in chains. He lied to us. He said, smoke this and the girls will like you. He said, wear that earring and you'll be the envy of your friends. He said, wear your trousers down to your knees, you know. He said, dress like a harlot. He said, live any way you want, and lied to us. He just put chains. He wrapped around us the cords of iniquity. And there we were. We were desperate to just breathe, just to have life. And Jesus came, I'll buy him. Woo-hoo! And the devil said, it's a high price. And Jesus said, what's your price? And the devil said, your life. And Jesus said, done. I'm owned. Amen? When I walked off of that stage, I could have been sold. I could have been owned by some other owner. I mean, the devil's a poor, a wicked, awful owner. Yeah. Jesus bought me. He bought you if you're born again. That hand doesn't belong to you anymore. Those eyes don't belong to you. Whenever you go somewhere and whatever you do, you're supposed to be doing it for him. You're owned by him. You know, you ever hear of a GI? Well, you probably don't. In America, they have these guys called GI Joes. Now, GI is old, an acronym. It means government issue. So when a person joins the army, you know what you are? You're owned. The government, everything you have, the government gave you, and they say and do whatever they want with you. Amen. Well, I've got a better owner now. His name's Jesus Christ, and I want to do what he wants. I am owned. Christian life is serious stuff. You know why some of you, listen, look at John chapter 8. Go back to the left. This is a good verse. Gospel of John, chapter 8, in verse 39. I'm going to show you why some of you still do as you please. Why as soon as you're out of church, you go back to the same old life, the same old sins, the same old habits. I'll show you exactly why you do that. John chapter 8, verse 39. Listen to Jesus. Am I right? I hope that's right. John 8 and verse 39. No, I'm looking for the verse that says, I always do those things which please him. Where is that? 29. Ooh, good. And he that sent me is with me. 29. I got to write that down because that's good to keep. 29. You got good eyes, Despina. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. Whew. I want to do those things that please him. He freed me from the bondage of my sin and from the devil. Why would I ever go back to that bondage? Why would I ever go back to those old friends? Why would, except to win them to Christ? Why would I ever put myself back under that slavery? The reason why you continue to do as you please, why you still have the same old attitudes, is because you don't have the foggiest of idea. You don't have any idea just how much God had to pay to free you from your sin. You think, well, he just overlooks my sin. He doesn't overlook them. He knows every wicked thing you've ever thought, everything you've done, and he didn't overlook them. He paid for them. He bought you. Amen. I am owned. Let's look at Galatians. I'll show you one. I am loved. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Again, the New Bible's changed the tense on it. Billy, think, I was crucified. Look what it says in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Wow. So we're talking about that. I died when he died. Nevertheless, I'm sitting here living. Yet not I anymore, but Christ, present tense, liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. Look at the present tense. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I had a Christian get really down one time. He said, I don't understand. I just don't think God loves me. I says, you know, why would you say that? He says, it sure doesn't feel like love. I said, I understand, but I want you to understand something. It says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He proved his love for you then. But let me show you another verse that maybe we'll balance it out there. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31 in your Old Testament. I read there in 1 John chapter 4 there this morning where it says, God is love. Amen? If any man love God, he loves. Because God is love. Jeremiah chapter 31. in verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have, in the past tense, loved thee. With how long of a love? With an everlasting love. There are a couple things that God cannot do. One of them is he cannot do any better. He's doing perfect all day, every day. Second thing, he can't love you any more than he currently does right now. You say, well, it feels rough. You know, he might have to be chastening you. We don't have time, but Hebrews chapter 12 says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourges every son. So don't sit there and go, well, I'm going through a rough time. Probably you deserve it. Amen. Probably you got a good slap on your behind simply because you've been backslid and we're messing around with sin, messing around with wicked thoughts and bad attitudes that, man, make the devil happy. And the Lord just says, hey, I got to get you under control or else you're going to self-destruct. And he brings chastening into your life. It may not feel like love. I remember my dad telling me, this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. I said, isn't it the other way around? Oh. It never was like, in my life, it never was like it was in the movies. I don't understand. It's not fair. But it hurt. But it's because he loved me. Amen. I am loved. He can't stop loving you. You know, if you're going through trouble, if he didn't correct you, if you're going through troubles, that's the love of God, man. If he just abandoned you and let you run your own way and get, listen, the world is doing its own thing. Is that love? If you let your kid just go out and play in the street, man, give your kid a stick of dynamite, man. Let him go find a match. Let him do what he wants. Is that love?
No.
Let your kid go into the shop and, oh, he just stole a few packs of gum. Yeah, let him get over it. Yeah, let him do it. Don't give out to him. Amen? Just, that's love, right? No. You know, we did when Joel stole something from, back before it was Tesco, it was Quinn's. What was it? Quinsworth, wasn't it? We had, and Joel's sitting there, and I don't know, he took a candy bar or something like that, and I saw that thing sticking out of his pocket there. I said, where'd you get that? And there was a security guard there, and that security guard was the right kind. He was at least 6'8". And I marched him right up there to that guy, and I said, my son just stole that candy bar. Well, I actually, Nita was holding him, and I said, my son just stole a candy bar. I want you to make him scared to death. He said, be glad to. I brought Joel up to him. And I said, Joel, this man wants to talk to you. He is the security guard of this shop here. And he knows you've stolen that. The color draining from his face, you know. And that man looked at him and says, did you steal that candy bar? Put the fear of God in him, amen. Amen. Why would you do that to a kid? To stop him from stealing. To stop him from just doing whatever he wants. Don't you think that because you're going through trials and troubles in life, that that's not God loving you? It's the best thing for you. Because it's out of those trials that you get better. It's out of those chastening times that you become more holy and you become godly in your thinking. Because if he just lets you go your own way, you go back to the old ways. That's love. So everybody thinks love is just nothing but hugs. I like a good hug. But sometimes that's not all there is to love. Now, we already read it. Look there in Galatians. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. I thought of this thing, and I thought, nobody's going to understand, Lord. Nobody's going to understand, but I think it's cool. I am inhabited. You know, ever notice all the weird movies today about demons and aliens inhabiting people? Since about the 70s, man, all these people, you know, aliens coming and stuff. It's true. Not the alien part, but... People do get filled with wicked things. They get filled. Hey, listen, not all angels are good angels. When the world starts promoting angelology and talking to angels, you're messing with the wrong angels. Galatians 2:20, it says this. We just read it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth where? Oh, where is Jesus Christ right now? In you, and in you, and in you, and in every believer in this room. Christ liveth in me. We read it there in 1 Corinthians 6. It says, know ye not that your body is, present tense what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Where does the Holy Ghost live? In you, amen. You're inhabited. broken, contrite, hungry people are inhabited by the Spirit of God. You know, when you're proud and cocky and self-confident, you know what you are? You're inhabited by demons. You're inhabited with self. We're supposed to be filled with Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be full of His way of thinking. Full of His words. That's why, hey, listen, you say, I'm not getting out of my Bible recently. It's really just keep putting in the word. Keep putting in the word. Keep putting in the word so you're full of the word. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and He says, this is home. Amen. I wrote this stuff. Amen. Wow. I'm never alone anymore. Hebrews 13:5 says, He'll never leave you. Amen. He's not just hang around and fly around you. He's in you. It actually says, you know what Psalm 23:4 says? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Thou art with me. And I read in the New Testament, He's not just with me, He's in me. Amen? I think it's cool. You know, it says He's sealed in me. He's stuck with me. Amen. You know what makes marriage work? Two people stuck together. Amen. They got to get along. Amen. And you know how to make a relationship with Jesus Christ work? God figured out, I gotta stay with them. Because they're not going to stay right. They're not going to get this thing. I just got to stay with them and stay with them. I'm inhabited. I'm never alone. There are times that we get so busy we forget there's a still small voice trying to talk to us. And you need to take time for Him. You need to have that quiet time in the morning or in the evening. Have that quiet time sometime in the day where you just open the Bible and let Him talk. Then close the Bible and just talk to Him. Tell Him everything on your heart. Tell Him every burden, every care. And then just shut up. Let Him just go, I'm here. Amen. Amen. I'm inhabited. I think that's cool. If you're not full of Holy Spirit, you'll end up full of something else. You'll end up full of depression, anger, wrath, lust, covetousness, jealousy. I could go on and on and on. If you're not full of Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be full, aren't we? But if you make room for any other spirit in your life, it's going to come in. Amen. Another thing we are is I'm free. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You know John 8:32. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. Speaking in the present, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath, what has He done? He's made us free. And in the future, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As of right now, I'm free. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I am free from the penalty of my sin. You say, you mean you can go off and kill somebody and you'll still go to heaven? Yeah, yeah. I'll probably just go to heaven early. And I'll be a bad testimony. I'll bring judgment and condemnation on my children. You know, I read in the story of this lunatic up there in Norway. You know, he's got family. His mom and dad have to live with his actions. His dad said, I never understood my son. I never thought he'd do this. I wish he had killed, this is what he said. I wish he had killed himself at that campground. We have to live with him. Standing up there in court trying to make a circus out of the court system. His parents have to live with his sin. You say, he's still their son, isn't he? You know, some of you are making God live with your sin. And there are some times where God says, that's it. And some of us die early. Amen. You're still saved, but you'll be ashamed for all eternity. There are going to be tears in heaven, amen. So don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There was stuff that I'm free from, and to go back to it, can Christians go back? Yeah. I just know something. I know that I'm free from the penalty of my sin. Jesus Christ paid for it. I may get chastened. But the condemnation, the wrath of God that was on me was poured out on Jesus Christ. There's no more wrath against me. Amen. I am free from the penalty of sin, and I'm free from the power of sin. Don't you say, well, I just can't give this up. I just can't stop talking with my mouth. I just can't stop this habitual sin. You know what the Bible says? We're free. Well, Brother Dennis, I'd like to be free. Amen. Let me just show you where you are free. It's now time to live free. Amen. You just put yourself back under chains. You know what's funny? It's like somebody who was a slave or was bound, and they go back and those chains go around them and they don't realize they have no power. You can, as a Christian, only as a Christian, you can pull away from it. You find out there's no pin in those bracelets, amen? Whatever they're called, those cufflinks. What are they? Handcuffs, that's it, cufflinks. Hey, it's a long week, amen? 15 preaching messages, man, we're worn out. But there's no pin in them. There's no lock on them. You can't pull away and you go, look how easy it is to get free again. It's in your head. It's in your heart. It's what the devil's lying to you again. Don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You are free. Another thing you need to understand, you're locked in a battle. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does that tell you? You're in a fight. Look at Romans 7, Romans 7:21, almost done. Romans 7:21. Paul's writing as a Christian. Romans 7:21 says, I find then a law. Here's a spiritual law. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's now. I want to do something nice for my wife and I mess it up. I want to take time and spend time with my kids and something, the phone rings and somebody needs something done or whatever. Every time you try to do something good, something wrong goes happen. Amen? You're in a battle, trying to make a balance, trying to do right. You're in a struggle. You're locked in a battle in every area of your life. You are struggling. Until you reach heaven, you are going to be in a fight. That's why the Bible says war, good warfare. Make sure you don't join the other side by accident. I've seen a couple of football games in America. American football is fun to watch because you get some of these guys, there's so much activity. Somebody gets the ball and they forget which direction they're running. Now, I'm talking about secondary school, what we call high school football. And I mean the tussles, the ball can get what's called fumbled, which means it can go to the other team. And the other team gets it and the other guys are going, and he can start running and start running. Everybody's going, stop, stop. And he crosses the line and he gives the other team the point. Talk about depression, amen. Goodness, man. It's just, you may find yourself just struggling, not even know which direction to go because every day you're waking up and there's a battle. That's life. That's life. You're going to have that. Don't say, well, I must not be saved because I'm in a fight. Job had a fight, didn't he? He was doing everything right. You know, I found out when you start doing right, the devil fights harder. I just figure, hey, when things are going well, I'm not doing anything good. Amen. All they that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're locked in a battle. I'm glad for times when it's quiet and lulls. Amen. I'm glad for times when there's rest and victory. But most time, it's just a wrestle. It's a struggle. You know what I have to do as a Christian? What you have to do, we have to constantly cast down imaginations. I have to take that thing, I get that thought in my head, and I go, get out of here. Amen. You say, you struggle with thoughts? Are you breathing? Don't look at me like a dummy. Every one of us struggle with things in our head that come in and you go, whoa, where'd that come from? You just grab that thing and throw it out. It comes back and says, you're supposed to be dead. Amen. Struggle with that thing. I have to constantly remind myself of God's promises. We're sitting there coming up to youth camp and I'm going, Is this thing going to work out? We started off, we had about 45 kids, and I said, Lord, I'm trusting you for 100. I like 100 people there. I love 45 kids, it'd be fine. But I'm like, Lord, there needs to be some kids there who need to get saved. I don't want to have the same deadbeat kids. I want to have some new kids. I want some kids for our older kids to have to minister to. I want our older teens to see a bunch of young kids who need God, and they need an example of God. I want to have 100 kids there and adults and all this stuff, and I'm praying. I'm going, is this thing going to work out? We're trying to put together the handbook and all the lessons. We're going, this thing's not finished, and that thing's not finished. Is this going to work? And I opened up my Bible, and I said, he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. You're going to put it together. And he did.
Amen.
Amen. We're in a struggle, man. I have to constantly submit to God. Do whatever he asks so I can resist the devil, amen? Don't ever forget you're in a battle. But don't ever forget that battle's one day is going to be over. I've been in a hospital. I've seen people fighting to breathe, fighting just to sit up. And I just look at them and I go, it's almost over. One of these days that battle will be over. And you'll be jumping around, running around, and I'll be jealous. We're locked in a battle. Don't you forget that. Don't you go, now that I'm saved, the battle's over. Slap, 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 slap. It just began. Lastly, I am called. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:20. I am called. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 20. I love how, again, I'm trying to move through here. And all the nows, all the present times, all of these verses are all in the present tense. Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, we don't have any little kids in here, but you know what you are, Laika? Are you born again? You know you're saved. Know you're going to heaven. Do you want to one day serve God? That was not the answer I wanted. You know what the Bible says? You already ought to be serving God. We are ambassadors. Now then, we already are something. We're called. We're supposed to be doing something for God. You have, the moment you got saved, 1 Corinthians 12 says you were gifted. Amen? Now in America, we call those special, right now. Gifted people, you know, gifted people is kind of a slant, you know, they need a little slower help, amen? The idea is we are gifted. We've been enabled to do something. It may be something very small, like making tea. But it's a joy having faithful folks who are gifted in ministering and making that time where we fellowship go so well so that we all are ministered to. Some are gifted with talent. Some of you are gifted just with the gift of gab. I mean, seriously, some people just need to be around other people talk. And you have the gift of being able to just talk about the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Gifted. You're called to be something now, and you're enabled to do it. Samson failed to do what God designed him to do, didn't he, gentlemen? Ladies? He failed to do what God designed him to do. David succeeded. God said, David, I'm going to use you. You go after that giant, David said, let me at him. Amen. Amen. You and I have a great purpose to fulfill right now. Not when you're 50 years old. It's two more years for me. Don't wait until you're, I'm going to start being a missionary. I got to go to the bathroom. Don't you wait until you have had all your fun and you finally get tired of all your sin. And believe me, you will be tired of your sin. There is a, listen, there's a way that seems right. It seems so good. And the end thereof is the ways of death. And the Bible says the pleasures of sin are only for a season. And don't you say, you know, when you're in the hospital and you can't breathe, and you say, now I'm going to serve God. It's too late. Don't you say when you got into a car wreck and you're paralyzed from the hip down because of drinking and showing off with your friends, your girlfriend, your boyfriend beside you. And believe me, girls, you're with a guy who picks up a can, you're stupid. Because he will take you for a ride one of these days and you're going to be the one that is crippled. And they're drunk. You know, when you're drunk, you know what happens? Nothing. They don't even know what's happening. They just relax. So the whole crash is the ones who haven't taken a drink, who've sat there and they say, I'm never taking a drink. But you go with the guy who does pick up a drink and he takes you out in that car and he'll walk away from that accident and you're the one that's crippled for life. Thousands of times. Don't you wait until all of a sudden you have no feeling from your waist down or from your neck down before you say, now I want to serve God. Don't you do that. You're called to do something now. Called to do it now, man. 12-year-old child should be about his father's business. Man, Jesus was 12 years old, and he says, I got to get busy doing what God called me to do at 12. Amen. An 8-year-old, hey, you know what it said there in 2 Kings 22? A king named Josiah was crowned. And they looked at him and he says, well, what do you want us to do? And he said, well, give me a pillow. Bring me my teddy bear. He's an 8-year-old king, and it was time for him to be king. Don't you wait until it's too late. You are called to do something now. You know what? You know what's cool? Let me just finish up here. God can fix your past and your future, but he wants to work in your present. Hebrews 3:7 says this, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He's talking to us today. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Do you remember what you were before you were born again? Let me catch up here. I already read that. Do you remember what you were before you were born again? You were lost. You were ungodly. You were dead in sins. You were without God, without hope, without strength. You were a child of the devil. You're doomed. And that's what every one of us was. Amen? I want you to think now and from this day forward to know what you is. You are forgiven. I mean, I hate guilt. Guilt is good. But if you can't get guilt resolved, you know what you'll end up doing? Killing yourself. That's why a lot of people, they jump off bridges. They take a gun. They take pills. Kids do stupid things. What are they trying to do? Trying to deal with guilt. They may act like, well, you know, I'm my own man. But when they lie down in bed, man, just guilt just covers them like an elephant sitting on them. You got to get that guilt taken care of, resolved. Jesus can take all that guilt away and forgive you. Amen? You are forgiven. Every born again possesses eternal life right now. I just enjoy a bit of heaven every day. Amen? I don't have to wait for heaven. I've got it now. We're washed. We're holy. St. Dan, St. Kathy, St. Kim, St. Despina, St. Lily. There probably is a Lily on the calendar. St. Lily on the calendar. Amen? I always wonder about St. Blazes, though. That one got a word, you know. Washed, holy, and righteous. You are owned. Don't you forget that. You're loved. Don't get this idea that his love comes and goes and changes. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You're inhabited. Christ liveth in me. You're locked in a battle. I mean, honestly, the devil does. Aren't you glad God didn't let go? I saw a couple of kids there at camp, man. One of them got a stick, and the other one got a stick. And they were like, and the other kids go, you know what's cool? The devil's still trying to get a hold of my life. Jesus said it. He said, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you like wheat, to take you apart. But I prayed for you. I ain't letting you go. Amen. You're locked in a battle. It's going, you wake up and you go, why is it so dark today? There's a battle. And you're just going to have to go through it. But you're free. The devil has nothing on us, man. And lastly, you're called. You have a job to do. You've got one of the greatest jobs in the world, to be an ambassador for Christ. You can testify and represent what Jesus can do with anybody. Will you stand and let's bow in prayer? Because I'd like us to ask God to help us to live it.